Our scripture reading this evening is taken from Ephesians chapter 6 and reading verses 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And also from the Heidelberg Catechism, and Lord's Day 39. Was day 39 found on page 52. Considering the fifth commandment. What is God's will for us in the fifth commandment? That I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother, and all those in authority over me, that I obey and submit to them, as is proper when they correct and punish me, and also that I be patient with their failings, for through them God chooses to rule us. Dear people of God, as we return to our study of the Heidelberg Catechism in general, and more particularly to the Ten Commandments, we turn to the fifth commandment, which is the second part of the law. As you know, the Ten Commandments are divided into two sections. The first four that have to do with our love to God, our relationship to God. And the second part of the law has to do with our relationship with our fellow man. Right? So one is a vertical relationship, the other one is a horizontal relationship. And it's not without significance that we start the second part of the law with this command to do with our relationship with our parents. And certainly, in one way, we can understand that because, first of all, it's the first relationship that we come to experience. That is, with our parents. That's where we start life, as it were. And it's so important because that's where we get our training. That's where we are taught and about life and relationships. And so much of our life that is to come is affected by our life at home, by our relationship to our parents. And so it's a very crucial relationship. And therefore, it comes first in the second part of the law. It is not without truth that we say that society is founded on good families, stable families. And where families are broken, then the rest of society suffers on all levels. And even unbelievers can see that. Of course, they would never admit to the fact that they need to listen to the scriptures and that the scriptures are right. But no one can doubt the fact that there is a relationship between broken families and a broken society. So even in countries where Christianity isn't the religion of the land, generally speaking, nevertheless, they have much to teach Western nations because they have respect for the family. And so there is a much more stable environment at home than there is in the Western countries. And then you think, even though we have the advantage of the Christianity, nevertheless, in terms of society, it doesn't take away from what I've said. Even if we do have understanding of the Bible in terms that we can read it and we can see it in many churches in these lands, nevertheless, when we don't follow that and our families are weakened because of it, it does have an effect upon society. And so I trust that we can see the significance of this section of the Ten Commandments, starting with the relationship of children to their parents. And so children need also to understand that. That this time of their lives at home isn't something that is wasted, isn't something that is to be gotten away from as quickly as possible so that we can have our own freedom and do whatever we want. And that this is really a time when we really don't have the ability to do what we really want, and we just can't wait for that time to come. No. It's the most important time, so that we may have that stable foundation, that we may learn things that are necessary for us for the rest of our lives. And so God very graciously includes that in the Ten Commandments. God is not doesn't only talk to adults, for example, and just tells parents, make sure you do a good job in raising your children. He certainly does that. But he even addresses children, as we have in Ephesians chapter 6. Children. And so our ears need to prick up when we hear that. God has something to say to you as children. And what is that? That you obey your parents. That you help this process. That you encourage those that God has put over you as parents. You encourage them in their task because it's so important. Not only to you, but also important for society. And by the way, important for you to learn. So that when you have families, then you know how to raise families too. In a way that will be a blessing to the children and a blessing to you as well. So this is a very important subject, both for children and parents, and society at large. And so the first thing that we want to establish and fix in our hearts and minds is that this is a command from God. God is the one that tells us to do that. This is not adults trying to intimidate children. This is not the adult society getting together to keep children in their place so that we might have an easier task of raising our children. No. It's not a means of abusing children. No. God is the one who created us, the one that orders every aspect of our life, as we were mentioning this morning. From birth to death, God has so ordered this world to help us, to encourage us, to motivate us, to move us along to the full enjoyment of his blessing for each and every one of us. So it's God, the one who created us and designed the family and ordered it in the way, according to his infinite wisdom, it is he that tells children to obey their parents. As I said, parents certainly need to nurture their children. Parents are certainly to exercise authority over their children. But God never begins that way. Right? I mean, for example, God never says, husbands, make your wife submissive. He doesn't say that. Because a relationship is not to be one that is forced and abusive. So he doesn't start that way at all. He starts with the woman. He says, women, be submissive to your husband. A willing choice. A choice that is based on faith that God knows what he's doing. Even though we see many things that would hinder us going in that direction. Many things that would we would bring up as excuses to say, no, we can't go that direction. No, this is the direction we need to go. And so children are addressed. Children, be obedient. Obey your parents in the Lord. That's God's word. So yes, you can look at all kinds of situations. You can say, well, look at all the cases of abuse of parents towards their children. And I don't deny them. We lament the fact that parents don't do as they ought to do in this world. And so there is a case of abuse towards even children, which is horrific for us to think about. But it happens. It happens because man is sinful. Men don't, and men and women for that matter, don't obey God's word. And so, yes, we agree with you. There is that danger. But nevertheless, God is not oblivious to that. It's not that God doesn't understand that these things happen. He does. But nevertheless, even in that, in the light of that, God still says, children, obey your parents. And so that's a command that we have to take very seriously. You have to take very seriously. This is a very important direction and command that God is giving you. And so you need to have faith in that. You need to trust God that he knows what he's doing. And not be fearful and not be saying, no, I have to be in control. I can't give that to somebody else because of all the fears that I have. No, God knows all of those things. And that's the case on all levels, right? Same with respect to our families with wives. Wives are to be submissive to husbands. Now, of course, there's a whole movement that tells us not to do that. This is just a conspiracy by men to have authority over women. And again, they can come up with much evidence supporting the case that men are abusive to women. And no one can deny that. We're not here to deny that that has happened. There's no way you can do that. But on the other hand, we don't just throw God's word aside. We don't say, oh, therefore he doesn't. This doesn't work, so throw it away. Women ought not to be submissive to the husband. We have to fix this. And so we're going to fix it so that there's equality in terms of authority in the family. No. We don't meddle with God's design, even though people abuse the relationships. Nevertheless, it is the relationship that God has designed. And so God needs to be trusted. We need to have faith. We need to put our well-being into his hands. And when he says to us, children, obey your parents, we have to follow that with all of our hearts. And though there are uncertainties in this life, I mean, nevertheless, never mind abusing children, we live in a society where children are destroyed even before they take their first breath in this life. So talk about abuse. Yes, there is. But even in the light of all of that, we need to trust God. And so he tells us, obey your parents, and we do so. And by the way, it doesn't mean that we only do it when our parents are Christians. This is not saying, obey parents that are Christians, but every other ones, leave them. I mean, what do they know? They're not even Christians. How can they possibly a service. Yes, they can. Yes, they can. So even if the child, of course, or the infant, we don't know, but as they're old and they become Christians, they're not to throw aside God's design and say, oh, God's design was only for Christian parents and Christian children, and since we are Christians, our parents are not, it doesn't apply. Absolutely, it applies. Absolutely, it applies. When we became Christians, our parents weren't Christians. But it didn't dawn on us to think, oh no, we don't have to obey our parents. No, we did. We did. They couldn't guide us fully, of course. We couldn't receive the full blessings of family life by the fact that our parents weren't Christian. But it doesn't mean that it still wasn't the best that we could have. We did. But obviously it couldn't come to the fulfillment in God's design. So even more so then, when our parents are Christians, how much we need to be obedient to them and ask God's blessing upon them. But not only is this a command of God that is given to us in His Word, but also He comes with a warning. This command and this relationship is so fundamental and important, as I've said, such that children that disobeyed and were stubborn, right, and it of course got elevated in terms of the punishment as with age, but where children disobeyed their parents and became stubborn and even to the point of striking their parents, the punishment was death. It was death. It was stoned to death. And you think, well, you know, why? Isn't that kind of severe? You know, we might contemplate the fact that the Scripture says very clearly that all sin, the wages of sin, is death. That includes all sin. And so we might think, well, why are some sins then punished by death and other sins are not punished by death? And how do the two statements come together? How are they consistent with one another? Well, when we talk about God's justice, then it is true that the wages of all sin is death. The wages of all sin is death. And so when Christ paid the penalty for our sins, He did it by His death on the cross. So when we look at eternity and God's justice and our sin, it is absolutely true. But in this life, our life on earth, all sins are not addressed equally. So if you murder premeditatedly, you get put to death. But if you fight with somebody and they get injured, maybe even lose a limb, you're not put to death. So then you think, well, you know, why the difference? Why if I steal, I don't get put to death? And so the question is, why this double standard? Because the civil authorities and at home when we get punished, it's not the full justice of God taking effect. Otherwise, it would be death for every sin. So the way that God addresses sins in this life has more to do with the order of society. It has more to do with life here on earth and protecting life, that God has raised certain sins and punish them in a certain way, whereas other sins are not. We should not fall into this trap of thinking, oh, those sins are lower. No, they're not lower in any way. They're still punished by death. But they disrupt society. And so God has increased, as it were, relatively speaking, the punishments that are brought about by those sins. So why is it that children that are stubborn and strike their parents are put to death? Because it strikes at the very foundation of society. And that event that we have in our homes and our children do not do what we say and this disruption, that is a microcosm of what's going to happen to society if things are not addressed. And I don't need to provide evidence that that is the case. We're living it. We're living it. And the government doesn't do anything about it. And in fact, empowers children. And so it's easy for children to abuse the system and claim all kinds of things against parents. Not that it doesn't happen, you understand. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that there aren't parents that are abusive and the children do need to call the authorities and get help. Absolutely. But I'm saying there are many others that use the system for their own gain. And it weakens the family. And it weakens them. And it weakens society. And so that's the reason that God addresses children and the family in this strict way, because he knows how important it is. And so that ought to elevate in our minds the importance of this command. Children need to understand this must really be important for God to give this punishment to us. And not only that, of course, but God gives to parents the authority to discipline their children. Just as he gives authority to the state to discipline citizens when they're out of line, even to the point of taking their lives. Now, that's never the case, of course, in the family with our children. But we are given authority to enforce upon our children obedience. Age appropriate. So that ought to alert it in your minds the importance of this command for you, and for society. And so God is concerned for your well-being. He has ordered and designed, as it were, society, including the family, with one thing in mind: to help you, to strengthen you, to guide you, to protect you, to nurture you, so that you might walk in his ways. The next thing we need to consider in this whole subject is, why are we to obey our parents? Well, because of that very fact. They are the avenues by which we came into this world. They are the very ones that care for us. They're the very ones that make sacrifices for us. They're the ones that think about us day and night, even when we are not obedient. Even when we do things that cause them heartache and pain and suffering. They're the only ones in this world that lie awake thinking about you. Nobody else. Nobody else. They're the only ones that have nothing to gain. And yet, they give all. And think about it. If we don't have respect and appreciation, gratitude, for what our parents do for us day by day, then how in the world are we going to have any appreciation or respect or gratitude for anyone else in this world? Let me go another step further. How will we ever have any respect and appreciation and gratitude toward God if we're not going to have gratitude towards our parents? if we can't be appreciative and grateful to the people that we can see in all the things that they do day by day, how will we ever have that appreciation and gratitude to God, whom we cannot see, whom we can easily explain away and say these things don't come from His hands, they come because we work hard ourselves. We created ourselves. We don't have that way out with our parents because we see it with our own eyes. We see it every day. We see the struggles that they go through. Whether they can afford it or not, they do everything in their power to help us get ahead. And what is it that they get back? I mean, is it that children provide when they're older, provide homes for them and take care of them and spend all their time? No child ever takes care of their parents in the way that the parents took care of that child. I'm not saying that children never love their parents when they grow older. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying to the extent to which parents look after their children, it never goes the other way back. We may pay for them in a home, for example. But we're not there feeding them every day. We're not changing diapers. We're not changing their clothes. We're not bathing them, are we? That's what the parents have done for you. So God is trying to teach us, by the way. I mean, God has so wonderfully ordered our life so that we can learn spiritual lessons. Just as we can learn about God from creation, we can also learn about God in the way that He has ordered society. And even though society is flawed, and people are flawed, and parents are flawed, nevertheless, in God's design, it comes out, as we look at and experience these things, it comes out what God is to us. What God is to us. No parent ever loved their children more than God loves you. I mean, that may be shocking to you. God knows everything about us. He knows the number of hairs on our heads. Now, I can guarantee you, no parent knows the number of hairs on their children's head. And we find it hard just to keep their birthday straight, never mind the hairs on the top of the heads. But God knows the number of hairs on everyone's head. He knows everything about us. And He's actively engaged, leading us and guiding us, protecting us, being patient with us. But where do we see that? We see it in our parents. Imperfectly, yes. But nevertheless, it's there to be seen. It's there to encourage us. It's there to help us understand. What does it mean when we say, "Our Father who art in heaven"? That should bring to our minds all that we've learned in our homes. As I said, it doesn't matter whether your parents are Christians or not. Nevertheless, some aspects of God's fatherhood of us is seen in them even. And so that ought to lead us to become wise. Wise in our relationship to God. And to learn what it is to walk in obedience to Him. I mean, we find it very hard to listen to other people. Everybody wants to do their own thing. Everyone does, as Judges says, what's right in their own eyes. And so it's very difficult for us to follow leaders. Well, here God, in a very wonderful way, teaches us how to do that in a very helpful, encouraging way. So we start out very slowly. Listen to people that love you with all of their hearts. That shouldn't be very hard, should it? Listen to people that care about you. Listen to people that provide everything you need. Listen to people that are willing to sacrifice for you. If we can't listen to them, who will we listen to? If we can't accept them as leaders, then who will we submit to? The truth of the matter is, we won't. When we can't get along with our own parents, yes, they're imperfect, but all that they do for us, we're not safe with any leaders. Whether it be going to school with teachers, whether it be going to work, have an employer, or whether it's relating to the state, we're not going to be people that promote order. We're going to be people that promote chaos. Chaos. You know, sometimes when we go to prison, we hear all kinds of stories from Hermana, and as I said, some were just absolutely shocking. People in there that fight with their own parents or even kill their own parents. Is it any wonder that they're there in prison? It shouldn't surprise anyone, should it? So God is helping you to understand, hey, there's going to be leaders in your life. People that tell you what to do. And you have to learn to do that. And here is the environment in which you can learn those things. It's the foundation of all other authority relationships that you're going to have. And if you're going to benefit from them, then you need to be submissive. You need to follow those. As I said, yes, they are imperfect leaders. But, I mean, that's an important thing for us to learn, isn't it? That we're always going to have imperfect leaders in this world. We're going to have imperfect teachers. We're going to have imperfect bosses. We're going to have imperfect government, civil leaders. But we still have to be obedient. We can't promote chaos just because they're not the best that we could have. So that's reality. That's the reality that we live in. And so, yes, our parents are imperfect. Yes, they make mistakes. But all that they do for you ought to lead us to be submissive to them. And deep down, we know that they do it for our well-being. We need to be disciplined at certain times. We need to go in a certain route. But even further than that, further than being good citizens in our society, it ultimately leads us to learn what it means to be obedient to God. To have Him lead us. There are many times in our Christian lives when God's word leads us in a certain direction and we have second thoughts about it. And we're hesitant about doing it. Well, here's where you learn to do that. Here's where you learn to live by faith. Here's where you learn to do what your leaders say, even though you can't figure out everything that they have in store for our well-being. But rather than demanding that your parents explain everything before you take any step of obedience, that is really a path of chaos. You can't have that. And parents need to watch out for that. Sometimes parents think they're being clever by entering into long and intricate conversations with their children just to get them to do a certain thing. It's utter foolishness. Yes, there are times that we need to teach our children, but certainly not early on. Early on, they need to say, when you say stop, they stop. You don't have to give a 500-word explanation before you can persuade them to do what you want. No, they have to do it. You have to control them. But yes, it's true, when they get older, you want to give explanations. Why? Not so that they will necessarily do what you're telling them to do, so that they will understand that what you're telling them isn't some off-the-cuff decision that you're making, that it's from God Himself. And so that they not only obey what you say, but they own it for themselves. That's why we explain it. Not in order to get their approval, and obedience. No. But that's the way it's going to be in your Christian life. God is going to call us in a certain direction through His Word. And we're going to have second thoughts. And we're going to say, oh, but this, but that, but that. And we're going to say all kinds of things. You have to learn to be obedient to Him. But here's where you learn it, experiential. And so God has so wonderfully provided that very early on in our life. I mean, in a sense, that's the earthly version, is it not, of living by faith. Living by faith. Where we don't have all the answers that we desire. But here, in a very wonderful and safe environment, God provides you with that experience so that you can grow in your faith and you can come and understand what it means to be obedient to God in your life when everything isn't so clear to you. And you have second thoughts and you have fears, but you hold His hand tightly. And you say, not my will, but thy will be done. God not only tells us about that this is the best way for us forward and that we need to obey our leaders, and that of course extends, as I said, to many other areas of our lives, but ultimately it is for your good. And that's what our passage says, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Now that's certainly couched in Old Testament terms, where there was a land, the kingdom of God in Israel, and certainly that was conditioned upon their obedience. And that's why, of course, you had the exile, because they were disobedient and God kicked them out of the land. So if they were to enjoy God's full blessings, it would be dependent upon their walking obediently before Him. And as I said, that can come on many levels. So when we obey God's word, even on a purely earthly level, there's certain advantages we receive. When we work and put effort into it, then there's a certain comfort that we have in our life in terms of earning money and being able to provide food and stuff for our families. We get that. There's much more, of course, when we spiritually speaking, but even if you only stay at a certain level, there's blessings upon you. But God's blessings are much more than simply earthly things. So God is saying, look, if you obey your father and mother and you do that, there's a promise attached with that. There's blessings that come with that. And we know that is the case because 2 Timothy speaks about that. Chapter 3 speaks about that. It says, talking to Timothy, Paul says, that you've known the scriptures from childhood. You were taught by your grandmother and from your mother. You were taught the scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation. So there it was, being at home and listening to the things that he was taught brought about this wonderful blessing of being part of the kingdom of God, of being God's child and receiving from his hands blessings far beyond our parents could ever give to us. Blessings of eternal life. Blessings of forgiveness of sins. A relationship with Him that would extend through all eternity. God will shower upon us His blessings as we enter into a relationship with Him, which is a relationship of children to a father. But if we never learnt that at home, that becomes something alien to us. Something very difficult for us. But God has so designed it that we learn the basics in our homes. And as I said, even non-Christian homes, that we learn these things so that as we grow and as we come to faith, we know what it means to be obedient to God. And just as we experience blessings at home on an earthly level, we experience these blessings that God pours upon us as we walk before Him, and as we are obedient to him. And so it prepares us for salvation itself. It lays all of these things out. God manifests himself through the instrument of the home and the relationship of parents to children. Children have in their homes teaching from God that whereby he manifests himself to them. If we see it in that way, if we see that this is God's avenue of teaching us. And so if you're going to learn, and if you're going to benefit from those things, then you have to listen to what God is saying. Obey your parents. It's not going to be easy, but trust him. As you work and as you pray and as you ask God to help you do that, it will be a wonderful, wonderful training. You'd be surprised at how many scriptures refer back to this relationship of children to parents. Even discipline. That's what God says. You ought not to be surprised that I discipline children. You should have learned that at home. You were disciplined by your parents. And even though they were perfect, you know in your mind that that was a good thing. So how can you be so shocked that I would discipline my children as well? A mine of wonderful teaching and truth that we can learn in our homes by loving our parents, by praying for them. And parents need to be very careful. The parents need also, there's a word of caution that is given. I mean, the focus is on children, of course, but there's a word of caution, which is that we ought not to exasperate our children. We ought not to be so hard on our children that we discourage them. We put them off, as it were. And so parents have to be very careful. They have to understand that you have a very important role, which is to convey to your children the character of God in terms of his fatherhood of us. And so if we want to do the best for our children in terms of encouraging them towards God as a father, then we better reflect God accurately and lovingly. Not necessarily that we're soft on our children, let them get away. No. That would not be a correct picture. But we each have a very heavy responsibility. Yes, it has its wonderful joys and blessings that we ourselves learn as we go through these things, but it is difficult. And so you need to be careful. God has begun a good work in your children, and the instruments in his hands are mothers and fathers. And so we need to take that seriously. We need to give it attention and thought and prayer and reading of the scriptures so that we give an accurate representation of the love of God, our Father in heaven, so that our children will know him and continue to know him more and more in all of his varied ways in which he engages in our lives and leads us and guides us. So people of God, it is to our advantage as parents, as the children, as a society, to learn that this is the family is very important, very foundational. And we do the church and we do society a big favor by raising up strong families and showing forth what God is to each and every one of us. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you once again for your great love to us. And our Father, we thank you that though we see our parents, and it's from their hands that we are fed day by day from the time of our birth, that nevertheless, that behind them and through them, it is your love that you extend, your care, your guidance, so that we might truly be nurtured in the truth, and that we might be brought finally to see by faith your hand, your love, and Lord, that we might come to you through your Son and enter into that wonderful relationship of being your children. Our Father in heaven, we ask that you would hear our prayers, that you would indeed bless us, children and parents, adults alike, that we all might work to bring about and to reflect your wonderful love. For we pray these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and respond as we say.